being intentional within your marriage. And I think you will hear kind of gems of this throughout the weekend about just being intentional about connecting and turning towards and saying yes to your marriage. The more yeses you can say to your marriage, the healthier I think your marriage is going to be. Okay? So you'll see that as an overall theme. Mine is a super fun one tonight, okay? It's going to be very interactive, so get your smartphones out. We'll be doing a poll everywhere several times throughout. Because honestly, I've only been married 12 years, and I'm guessing by this variety of people here, there are definitely people who have much more wisdom and much more experience, perhaps, in this area and more years of marriage on them, okay? But what I am passionate about is the intentionality and building up healthy marriages. This is 2006. All of you insert your engagement picture right here, okay? Put the date of when you were first engaged and, like, take yourself back to that memory lane piece, right? You wanted to be with each other 110% of the time. Like, being apart was hard. That engagement phase, right? We just recently entered a couple, my husband and I, and they were just like, oh, we're staying up so late, we're getting no sleep, my productivity at work is terrible. We're just like, oh, just go to bed, it's fine, like, life will go on, you know? And my husband's like, Katie, remember that engagement phase. It was so, you were learning, you were like, ebbing and flowing together, you were marching towards marriage, marching towards commitment. It was fun, it was exhausting. We were younger, so we could do the late nights a lot easier. But you were connecting constantly, right? You had things in common. You were finding the things you had in common. You were thankful the Lord led you together. Picture yourself up there. My husband is, you know, has more hair here. I'm a little bit, you know, younger looking, not quite see wrinkles on the face. Now, this is us today in 2017. The amount of connecting we did here, okay, it's going to change 12 years down the road. Number one, it's not viable to stay up as late as we did. It's not necessary to stay up as late as we did. The connecting is still important, though. Regardless of how many years you all have been married in here, turning towards each other and connecting on a daily basis, and we'll talk about that throughout tonight's talk, throughout is just as important. Your conversation has changed from that get-to-know, love phase of engagement to now real life has happened. Work has happened. Children have happened. Maybe grandchildren have happened. Life has happened. And therefore, right, the connection that was required here to build a strong foundation, it's going to change. But it is equally, I would argue, almost more important right now, whatever years of marriage you put down here, okay, to connect and to turn toward your spouse and to say yes to your marriage. Purpose of date night. So, I'm not sure why when you saw this specific breakout on the website, why you said yes to this. I'd be very curious to ask. I'm not going to. But what Merriam-Webster's dictionary here gives great definitions of what a date is, okay? Because we're obviously not going to find it in the Bible what a date is, okay? So looking up here and kind of clicheing using some of these vocabulary definitions, the first one is an appointment to meet at a specified time, right? I set up a date with my lawyer. Or a social engagement between two persons that often has a romantic character. A person with whom one has a usually romantic date. What I loved about this, when I first put this on the slide, I'm like, this is what Webster has to say about the word date. I liked it, though. Because if you break these down with me, right, an appointment to meet at a specified time. If you make an appointment with the dentist, you know you either need a healthy checkup, something's wrong, right? You specifically say, I need an hour out of my weekday to make an appointment. You predetermine you need something, okay? The second one up here, a social engagement, right? Social means usually fun, together, you're connecting, romantic. There's a desire, okay, in that definition. So this is like Merriam-Webster plus Katie Miller's version here, okay? A person with whom one has a usually romantic date, bringing a date to the dance. There's a desire, a need here. Matt talked about the need, the self-actualization. You want to be with this person. You are going towards that person. You're not running away from, you're not ignoring, you're not, right, choosing someone else. You are going towards that person. So what I thought first would be kind of like, Do I really throw the definitions up there? I love these. It's a predetermined, I'm purposing it, I'm taking time to go toward and desire somebody I truly care for and build up that relationship. All right? Purpose of date nights, think about those definitions. Think about, are you there in your marriage? Okay? Do you value being with your spouse more than any other earthly relationship? Do you want to be with your spouse more than any other earthly relationship? That's key to this. For sure it's key to that. Here we go. Okay, so if you pull out your smartphones again, how many of you here purposely have date nights? You schedule it, you know it's going to happen, it maybe varies from time to time. How many of you in here purposely schedule date nights? I don't care about frequency at this point. Does this surprise anybody in here about date nights? Yeah. No, I was thinking you probably signed up for this because you either don't have it, you want to learn how to have it, or what to do on a date night, right? So this is awesome. You guys could all just teach this breakout. I didn't need to be here. This is great. Okay? My goal in thinking about this is, number one, I want you to self-actualize together, right? What do couples do? Do they have purposeful date nights? Okay? And where are we at as a married couple? Okay? So be thinking about that and what that shows. Next one. What is the biggest hindrance to scheduling date nights? And so both of you can text in this. And you can text in several different answers. There's no limit here on this one. In your mind, in order to schedule a date night, what is one of the biggest hindrances for text a couple? Kids, time, babysitter, kids. Mm-hmm. Any other ones out there? Work. Thank you for your honesty. Absolutely. There's different commitments, and all of these up here are extremely real, right? You have, many of you have been blessed with children or grandchildren, right? You get the fact that there are needs outside of your marriage that have to be met. My children have to be fed, right? My children need to be clothed. They need to have like a self-sanity day. There's many different needs outside of your marriage. My work relationships, I need to provide for my family. I need to connect with my family member that's maybe struggling. You get all of that. These are extremely real hindrances, okay? If you take this and capture it, though, I'm not going to necessarily answer tonight in tonight's breakout session how to take care of all of these so you can have a date night, okay? What I'm hopefully going to help equip and motivate you to is to take some of these hindrances, make them real, and maybe how could we problem solve every now and then what is viable for our marriage to turn towards each other with a purposeful date night, okay? Excellent. I was glad there's not one up there. We'll get to that in a second. What is steering my marriage? So if purpose and the definitions kind of give me a glimpse of how I should maybe think about date night, the intentionality piece in marriage, these are kind of self-reflection right now, something you can maybe go home and tonight at the hotel or whatever and talk to your spouse about, especially if your spouse is not here. I see some people in here who came by themselves. This is great to share. If I were to ask you right now, and you to turn toward your spouse and ask, what is steering our marriage? Would it be the busyness? Would it be the kids steering our marriage? Would it be schedules of just like going from work to church, okay? Lots of times, sometimes in-laws steer our marriage, and we don't realize it. Sometimes good things steer our marriage. But if there are things that are turning us away from our spouse and towards others, I'm not sure that good thing is a good thing to steer. Okay? It's a little challenge there. Do I have the proper support network in place? Okay? This can be from the husband's perspective, this can be from the wife's perspective, or hopefully this is from a couple's perspective to help myself navigate our marriage. Arlo and I have been blessed from when we first were engaged to have one or two couples who we knew instantly. When we had to ask hard questions, how did you know you were done having children? What happened when infertility was a problem with your marriage? How did you turn towards each other? I recently lost my father within the last several years. How does that affect? All those hard questions that, yes, it's good to ask family members. Yes, it's good to ask siblings. But there's a lot. lot of times we would look to our mentors and be like, this is really hard. I don't know how to answer these questions. What did you do? Okay? Do you have that mentor couple in your life to help you navigate some of these steerage questions and where you're at? Okay? What is the vision for your marriage? Do you have a theme verse? Do your kids know your theme verse? Or your grandkids? Do your best friends know that marriage right there? That marriage is built on fill in the blank. Okay? Who is helping navigate? Do you have that proper support system? What is steering my marriage? If I were to ask each of you in this room on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being like, whew, grand slam, where your marriage is at, what would you say? And what would your spouse say? And if I would say if there's a 2 to 3 point difference between that, that would be a kind of a warning sign. Okay? If one spouse thinks, oh, it's a 9, and the other one's like, it's a 4 or 5, babe. Okay? Kind of ask yourself that. You're going to think we're absolutely like textbook clinical, but my husband and I, we do that from time to time. Like, where do you think we're at? Right now it's a hugely busy time for us work-wise, and we kind of know going into September and October, we've got to hunker down, we've got to be strong in prayer for each other, we've got to be constantly turning towards each other. Or that 10, 9, 8, 7, it gets down to 3 or 4 very quickly, okay? So what is the theme for my marriage? Am I helping? Is the proper intentionality of the support system going in there? And what is steering it? Even that busyness piece up there in that last poll everywhere, I'm thankful someone wrote that. Because there are so many things you can say yes to today. I can say yes to my kids' activities, church activities, my neighbor's activities. Right? There are so many things I can say yes to. But again, if it's turning me towards, not turning towards my spouse and turning me away from, really think about that steering of marriage. Because something else is steering your marriage, not necessarily you and your spouse, and going to God with that. Okay? Average logistical speaking, non-logistical talk on average is less than 5 minutes a day in a marriage. My husband and I are super guilty of that. From like when our feet hit the floor till when we go to bed at night, we are talking schedules, this, that, kids, here, there, work, you know, constantly, church, Bible study, all of these pieces. Did you send this email? And sometimes we just have to like take a break. How was your day? What was the high? What was the low? Is work terrible? Is work good? Right? All of those pieces. It as a high-low is a simple, purposeful turning towards it. We incorporate our kids, so then we hear each other's hearts and our kids' heart all at the same time, right? Is it a super efficiency thing? Maybe. But it also is like, okay, so later he had a really ugly conversation. I need to address that or hear his heart, okay? Simple thing. 5 minutes of non-logistical. That's really sad, okay? Really sad. Because culture is going to take that 5 minutes and keep pressing on it, right? Pursue together, compromise regularly. We've been blessed to be in an out-of-state potluck group. We kind of call it, we don't ever really do potluck. I mean, we share food, but we get together every now and then. And one of the things we did purpose on our last time, 2 weekends a year, we do one with kids and one without. We want our kids to know each other from different churches, that type of thing. So we purpose to bring our kids with. It's absolutely crazy. There's 6 couples, 27 kids. It's unbelievably crazy. The no kids one is super fun, just to like throw it out there. Anyway, this last time we were together with the no kids, we asked the question to the couples, what first attracted you to your spouse? Okay? Many people, 12 years, I think there's maybe one couple under us at 10, 20 was the highest. So it represents a vast gamut of how many years people had been married. And it was fascinating because as each, we had the husband do it, we had the wife do it, the husband did it, the wife do it, go around and share. It was fun to hear, number one, because I hadn't moved from Iowa yet to Illinois, so I didn't necessarily know all these couples and their engagement stories and such. So for me, it was fascinating. But second, I would watch the spouse and listen to the other spouse talk. And as that other spouse was talking, it was just, you couldn't put a Hollywood Oscar on it, right? It was so endearing. Just like, they hadn't thought about that question in a long time. Arlen and I actually wrote the question, so we knew this question was coming. And we hadn't even thought about it either to like answer it. And it was so endearing to just see that opportunity for those spouses to turn towards each other. Be like, oh, remember that, babe? That was great. But that really, that's what you attracted you? You know, A simple question. It does not have to be what first attracted you to your spouse, but that was an unbelievable opportunity to just sit and witness the group dynamics, the couple dynamics of that very question. I love asking that to my parents when my dad was still alive. He's like, blah, 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 blah. She was, in my class above me, and I thought she was cute, He would say all the, but I was like, are you sure, Dad? Is that the only thing? Or are you sure, Mom? So ask your parents these questions, too. I think it's a great learning tool to think back about what they were pursuing together, okay? Pursuing life together is so much more fun. Compromising regularly. All of you in this room and your spouse most likely are not like twin, okay? There's going to be differences, I'm guessing, between you two, okay? Sometimes those differences are vast. For instance, the guy who's speaking with Tim Funk, my husband right now, is probably trying to tell stories and not telling them nearly as good as I am. Okay? No, I'm kidding. We are made extremely different. He's an introvert by nature. I'm an extrovert by nature. I like to do different, like, outdoors things. He would rather do, like, a work-family project while we're doing the outdoor thing. I've kind of come alongside him with that, okay? You were created different, yet you were created together, right? Matt did that illustration up there about the gospel and how Adam, Eve. You were created together. You've got to believe that. That you are better together for the gospel than you were without your spouse. You are better together for the gospel than you were without your spouse. These engagement questions, too. Why do I keep going back to engagement? You're thinking, because that engagement phase, you were connecting constantly, right? What did you pursue together? One of the things my husband would say about me that attracted him to me was my adventurous travel, like, historical background. And when I first learned this, Arlen Miller, type A, was also a history teacher. I'm a history teacher by degree. I was like, that would be boring. Why would I marry a history teacher? I'm a history teacher. It has been the biggest blessing, right? Find those pieces, the passions of your spouse. Find the things that brought you together, whether greatly different or unique and the same. And that brings you together. What made your heart stop? What did you feel like we have in common, right? We have so much in common, we used to say. That type of thing. Dates and purposing this together, it's going to be a give and take. What I like to do on a date is not necessarily what Arlen likes to do. We are not, like, in sync 100% of the time, okay? You're going to have to compromise. So husbands, that might be getting groceries some night. Or wives, that might be going to Bass Pro Shop some night. Right? It might be talking about kids or grandkids many nights. But every now and then, I would encourage you, hey, let's, like, shake things up and do something different. That's life. That's pursuing it together. That's creating, turning towards each other. Try something new. If you've never been to theater, give it a try. Okay? If you've never been to a ball game and absolutely hate sports, I don't know. Give it a try. Right? Like, there are so many things. Encourage your spouse's difference by appreciating their passions, okay? When I was reading an article about this, it came across my desk, and the one woman was like, I absolutely hate the outdoors. My husband loves it. I would rather do anything else probably than go camping with him. I hate camping and tenting. She's like, but I support him. I go to Bass Pro Shop with him. He tries on all his stupid gear. I think it's great. I, like, help him support that. We get the kids excited, and then he goes. And then he comes back, and then I help him do it all again, right? So to her, she is compromising regularly because that is not her skill set, but she's going to try to go alongside her husband. She says every now and then she camps in tents, but not very often, okay? What can you do together? How you're going to have to compromise regularly. God designed us with very different DNA. He created us for the gospel, but he created us different, okay? So keep that in mind. Differences can be opportunities. Differences can be opportunities. I'm saying this as much to myself the next time my husband wants to do a work project as anyone in here, okay? So now here's the fun part, okay? Date night ideas. Just start throwing out where are some locations or what are some ideas that you guys do. Okay, dinner. Lowe's. You and my husband are like BFFs. Who's ever said that in a room? The park, rides. Okay, so if you're doing two words, make sure you don't space, too. I forgot to tell you that. Coffee, okay, hardware, kids, dinner. So by dinner being the biggest one, a lot of you are typing dinner in, okay? Good, picnic, ride, shop. I'll compromise regularly. Like it. Okay. Fun, okay. Arbitrary, nice. Picnic at home without kids. Okay, a little stay day, staycation thing. sex, it's got to be there, obviously. Date night ideas, that is a emotional, normal response of something like a marriage compass. Horseback ride, okay. A special place. Fancy. Like, maybe that's special to you, whoever typed that. Is that maybe what you're thinking? Movie night, fun. My husband and I, if you want to add some to this, we are big book lovers. So lots of times if we do dinner or out to eat or something like that, obviously we love going to a bookstore. We don't necessarily buy a thing, okay? When we were remodeling our house, bookstore was still the number one go-to place. For about 6 months, we remodeled an old farmhouse, and we would just go and we would pore over magazines of what we absolutely hated when we were remodeling and what we wanted to do, okay? Were we still connecting, talking about the house, talking about life? Absolutely. We just kind of calmed ourselves down. We kept saying we have absolutely no money to do. Right, you get the idea. But we still intentionally turned towards that idea. So bookstores, if you're a book lover, it's a fun place. It's also a fun place to take kids, but we really appreciate it together, our love of travel, our love of reading, that type of thing. The theater is really big. I know that. Oh, racquetball, I like that. Something active. Tennis is another thing we've done from time to time, not lately. The theater is a great way to either bring another couple along and do like a double date or just really expand your mind. It can be a variety of things. It can be musical. It can be Shakespeare. You name it. But it is a little outside of a lot of comfort zones, but it also is a big teaching tool. My husband and I obviously love history, so we love theater. Something to think about that takes a little bit of intentionality, right? You got to buy the tickets, you got to find a date, that type of thing to do. So any other date night ideas, throw them up there real quick. These are great. Lowe's is like our go-to date night. It also happens right in moving to Normal. Lowe's is right next to like Barnes & Noble, the bookstore. So typically it's like dinner, Lowe's, bookstore for us. It's kind of, right? We're compromising a little bit. I don't mind Lowe's, but it's a good compromise passion regularly piece. Ride rides, fun. Okay. Comedian, I like that. That would be fun. Dancing. Very good. These are great ideas. Those are great ideas. Before I go to the next thing, if you want to take a screenshot of that with your phone, you can. That's a fun. Obviously, dinner or ride bike were the two that came out the most. Okay? So, yeah. Any other ones up there? Those are great. Seasonally, it gets a little tricky in the Midwest to do dates, right? It's a little bit easier to do it, I would say, like spring through autumn than in the winter. You've got to be a little bit more creative in the winter. But it can be done. It totally can be done. It was a couple years ago. If you want to take that picture, I'll let you go into that before we do the next poll everywhere. We did this, Family Life has this Art of Marriage curriculum you can buy, you can do together. So we got some Gridley couples together, reserved a block of hotel rooms, and intentionally, right, led this kind of family marriage thing. And as we're talking, it came up, the one couple's like, hey, we were engaged, we talked about everything. We never ran out of things to talk about. What do we talk about now that, you know, we're like 10 years into it? And one of the couples, he was an older gentleman, he's like, well, you can always talk about the budget. You know, there's a budget. And all of a sudden, I'm like, ah! You know, like, the budget is like the absolute worst thing to talk about. But it spurred an Arlenized mind. That is right. If we are not intentional on our date, maybe we plan the date night. Maybe we have a fun place to go to. Fancy, reservations at dinner. And then we sit there and talk about the kids or, you know, something. What are good discussion questions or things to talk about? So besides the budget, okay, let's leave that off for right now. We'll just assume that's something we talk about. Or the children, okay? Let's share with each other what are some things we do talk about. It can be in the form of a question. So if you're going to do this, keep it together, no spaces, okay? What are some questions or things that you could talk about? That are intentional, not surface level, right? That we're together, we're taught mother-in-laws. Oh, that is a great, that's like with a budget up there, possibly, right there. Vacations, okay, so like dreaming, like what's your priority? I like that. That is a huge one, grandkids. Aw. What else you got? Interests, okay. Vacations, work. The future. I like that. That is really ambiguous, but that's a good one. In 5 years, where do we as a couple want to be? In 10 years, do we want to be doing the exact same thing? Is God leading us a different direction? Is that Holy Spirit nudging us to something different? Sports, lovely. Goals, church, okay. How we are doing. Ah, that scale of 1 to 10 thing could come up for that, okay? Working through trigger moments. Tough things. Like when this happened, I felt this. How did you feel? When I turned away or I needed to apologize to you, this is how I really felt, okay? Those are huge pieces right there. Dream travel desk. This would be like the Arlen and Katie Miller like constant conversation right here. Our dream travel destination. Goals for life and marriage. Those are awesome. Investing in us. How much fun are we gonna have? There you go. That's a great one. Any other ones? Let me throw this question out there. It's a great question. I recently did it at a social thing our church held. And the question was simple. If you knew you could not fail, what would you do? What would your spouse say right now? Could you guess? Would it be a job change? Would it be, you know, some crazy adventurous task? Would it be President of the United States? Right? The sky's the limit. If you knew you could not fail, what would you do? It is amazing how a simple discussion like that turns you toward your spouse, makes you maybe learn something about your spouse, and takes the discussion to a different level, okay? Another good question I love, going through Bible verses. What is your favorite Bible verse, right? Could you tell right now what your spouse's favorite book of the Bible is? Okay? What passages do they like reading? What passages are hard? What are they reading right now? Do you know that? Have you shared that? Have you connected together over that? That's great. How are we doing spiritually? Have you discussed a sermon or a message or a podcast you heard recently together, okay? Is that common verbiage between you? How blessed we are. That's a great one. Listing your blessings, right? Gratitude journals. Those are pieces that you could leave for posterity, for kids and grandkids. That would be a huge investment, not just into your marriage, but into marriages for the future and illustrating the gospel. These are great things up there. If you could travel anywhere, where would you go? Simple, silly question, but a great question that kind of broadens your limit. If you could choose another occupation, would you? And what would you do? Okay. What is one characteristic you'd like to develop more? Notice I didn't say what is a weakness you have, spouse, right? If you could develop a characteristic in yourself a little bit more, what would that be? Right? Your spouse's antenna just went up, realizes, how could I help them develop that characteristic? Okay? You're connecting together. You're turning towards each other. You're admitting. You're honoring each other. 5 years after you die, what would you want to be known as? Okay? You're thinking that's kind of morbid to think about. But it's a legacy. It's an honoring question. Okay? Google this. Discussion questions. You'll get tons. Okay? So when that marriage, that at that family life little get together with Gridley Marriages, when he said that, we all kind of laughed and then we're like, so what do we talk about? Be honest. You know, we're all like kids, work, the standard ones, but you're thinking either I just paid a babysitter, okay? We only have 2 hours together, right? We gotta make this count. We gotta connect. Okay? So be thinking about that as you do this. Any other wisdom to add to this? This is a great, great moment. These are great. I was wondering what would come up in this. This is great. You pass, class, you pass. Okay. Working through trigger moments, that's huge, okay? Thinking about, to get from that 5-minute non-logistical to somewhere else, you've got to be intentional about finding the heart of your spouse each and every day, or throughout the week, or on a date, okay? What was your most frustrating thing in the last month? Why was it frustrating? Why is that relationship hard? I hear that relationship is hard all the time. How can I help in that, okay? Keeping it not just up here, but finding and connecting at a deeper level and being intentional about it. The last slide I have up here, some of you probably have seen this before. Definitely at ACCFS we have promoted this. And many family marriage therapists would definitely say connecting regularly, it's got to happen. If you don't purpose in your life to connect regularly at different intervals here, it's not going to happen. We're going to choose so many other things than turning towards our spouse, okay? Daily. What time of work works best for you both? Notice I said you both, okay? There's a list of times Arlen would love to connect with me, and it just is not going to happen, okay? And same for me. I would love to connect while he's doing his devotions. That's the time I have quiet time, right? Like the kids aren't up yet, and it doesn't work for him. Okay. Likewise, when he's on his commute home, he calls me, I'm making dinner. That is like the absolute worst time. The kids are about to come apart always, every single time. That is not, we got to find a time together that works best, okay? Is it before bed? Is it the first thing in the morning? Is it your commute? Maybe it is a commute for you or your spouse. Is it after kids are in bed? Is it midday, checking in on each other, right? Giving a call over your lunch break or something of that nature. When is the best time to connect and try to make that a priority and hold it sacred? Okay? You'll hear me say that probably for all of these. But you've got to hold it sacred or something else will come in. Weekly. Is there a weekly time you hold sacred? Okay? This doesn't mean a weekly date right here. This just means there's got to be a day of the week or a night of the week where you as a family and you as a husband and wife team say, this is husband and wife team time, okay? Lots of times it's Sunday night for couples. It varies. But Sunday nights are also a lot of times church activities happen or family nights happen, that type of thing. So figure out what works best for your schedule. And when planning these, try to look ahead. It might change from week to week, okay? Lots of times Saturday night is kind of our sacred time, but obviously we're traveling this weekend, so it's going to switch up, okay? And try to, again, hold that sacred. Monthly. This one is hard. I would say of all of these up here, honestly, for some reason, I think daily's okay, weekly's okay. Monthly, you're thinking, man, one time a month to do a purposeful day. How in the world do we make that happen? I'm not saying it's easy. It is hard, okay? It is for sure hard. That kids hindrance, a lot of you put kids up there, okay? That tells me what stage of life you're in. A couple ideas with that. Like I said, I'm not here to solve it, but I'm just here to share some of the wisdom we've learned. If you don't have in-laws or family within that area that can help you with that support piece, okay? There's about 6 couples in Gridley. They started this moons ago. I think they started before Arlen and I were even married. Where I think some couples have support, like in-laws and such, in the area, and some do not. So the some that do not were the ones that initiated this. And every other month, so theirs is every other month, not monthly, they take turns babysitting each other's kids. So they don't pay a babysitter, so it's not a budget situation. It's the support they need to get away once a month or every other month, okay? And they just take turns. It doesn't matter when it is. I think they've kind of set it up, and they hold that sacred. So that's something in your area or your church community that you could do, okay? And if that's a hindrance to you, make it happen, okay? Make it happen. What will it take to make this monthly date night happen? Some people, it's very rough. It's like the third Sunday, we're going out to eat, okay? Sometimes it changes up, all right? This is hard for us. I'll be really honest. This one right here, monthly, is extremely hard. We have to be looking almost several months ahead because of the nature of our jobs to make that happen. But we are pretty religious about this. Once a month, it is huge for Arlen and I to stop, to turn towards each other and say, you know what? We're going to invest money-wise in this. We do have support networks around us in our local community, but we choose to always hire a sitter because we want our kids to know someday we invested in our marriage, okay, and we did it with our checkbook. We invest so many ways with our checkbook elsewise, right? Do I invest with my checkbook in my marriage? Okay, something to think about. Annually, this is an even bigger checkbook investment, okay? But we believe in this as well, and there is something about one time a year, you and your spouse, you figure out the work, you figure out the kids, whatever it takes, and you just say, hey, we need a yearly getaway. Sometimes it's a long weekend. Sometimes maybe it's a day trip to a bed and breakfast. You name it. The sky's the limit on those, okay? But one time a year, you need to unwind and unplug. Usually for a couple days, especially if you're raising young children in here, it takes you about a day or so to kind of unplug and unwind from the kids, right? You're kind of like, oh, yeah, this is adult mode. I can do this by about day 2. Well, if you've only done it, you know, 2 days, then day 2 you're going home again. You're back in mom mode, right? You get the idea. So what kind of supports are needed to have that yearly getaway? You need to budget and financially think about it. Do you need to hire a college girl if you don't have those supports with in-laws and so forth to come be the nanny for the weekend? What does it take? Are you willing to make what it takes to have this happen? Do you go to the same location or vary? Some people love going to Florida, right? And they kind of go to Florida every single year. Great. Okay? It doesn't matter where it's at. It's just annually. Okay? Get away somewhere. Lots of times being varied maybe helps break out of some things, but if that's not your personality, that's okay. one time a year, find a way to kind of have a yearly getaway. Ken?
Yeah, I'll maybe be negative, but in my experiences and observations over the years, I've seen that last one seems almost impossible. Like, if you have two, three kids, like, mm-hmm. if you have one kid, yeah, you can make it happen. Mm-hmm. But if you have two, three, four kids, mm-hmm. how in the world can you find someone, like, to
do that? Yeah,
overnight.
It does get harder.
Yeah.
And those are real, and some kids, honestly, and he brings up another point, kids have different needs. There's specific things that some kids have that you as parents just have to honor, and you kind of have to, like, dig down and say for the next 5 years, our yearly getaway is going to maybe just be a day trip, okay?
Yeah.
I understand that. Those needs are very real and very hard, right? They're very difficult. But at the same token, you could find 12 hours, or you could figure out maybe a way. Three nursing kids, you get the picture, right?
Yeah.
You're going to have to ebb and flow with this a little bit. We have best friends who have specific needs with their kids, and leaving them right now at their age and with their needs just is not going to happen. So they've kind of tabled that, but they still try to do day trips, or if it's a work trip for the husband, they do, the wife tries to go along, and for like a day or 12-hour period, they'll hire somebody. But again, they've built in support that they can do that, if that makes sense. So, no, that's fair. That's fair. Daily, weekly, monthly, annually. Any other points? Kent's point is a very real.
Can we give one example of something we
sure.
did?
Go for it.
To kind of share? Like, you set that up. Yeah, that was awesome.
Oh, we went hiking over a weekend. It was so fun.
Hiking wasn't out there. You're
recording.
Working. We've done that, too. I didn't hear. Okay.
It was just for, like, we hired a babysitter for a weekend. And it was just like, yeah, Saturday. It was like, the whole day. We had the whole day to ourselves to hike.
And talk and connect while you're
so
hiking.
Much.
That is a
and
great
then we
thing.
We went to dinner that night, and then the next day we flew to Taylor.
Awesome.
Taylor.
So, but when you purpose to plan that,
yeah.
How did you? Was it like? Do you guys go on the fly? Was this kind of like last minute? Or are you guys pretty purposeful in
it?
It
was a little bit.
It was on the fly.
Minute,
okay.
Like, oh, let's make it happen. But then it was like. It's stressful. It's
yes, it is.
Yeah,
it's like, where are we going?
Should I leave my kids?
Yeah.
Should we do this?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Is this the best thing for us right now?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And I haven't taken a vacation in like 3 years almost because I've been so busy.
Right.
So, I mean, but then it's like, well, you can do it, but you have to kind of be crazy about it.
Yes.
It's hard.
Absolutely.
It's
and sometimes a year, I know there's couples that it's like every, you know, February, maybe the husband's work schedule slows in February. Or if you're a agrarian calendar, right, you're going to stay away from April, May, and September, October. You get the idea. But somewhere in there, you can fit, you know, fit something in. Or try to find what is most conducive to your schedules, to your support network, right, as well, that type of thing. That plays into it as well. So, any other comments or questions? Connecting regularly, purposely thinking about it, that was my goal tonight. I hope I encouraged, I hope you kind of go away with some ideas. The marriage relationship is one of the key earthly relationships we have, and we are promoting the gospel with our marriage. You need to believe that, and you need to live it, because it is so true. If not for your kids and grandkids, definitely for the gospel of Jesus Christ. A healthy marriage is a rare, precious gem today, okay? Connecting and turning towards your spouse and saying yes is huge.